One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
San Jose. I'm bringing the Live and Alive tour your way. I'll be at the San Jose Improv Friday, February 28th and Saturday, March 1st. Madison, Wisconsin. I'm excited to announce I'm shooting my next special at your club, Comedy on State. I was there not too long ago, had such a great time, such a great club that I'm excited to work with them and bring you my next special. Two shows, Saturday, April 12th. Get your tickets now at RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler. I want to thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for supporting anything I do. I don't care what it is. Even if you just tell somebody about the show, thank you. And if you got to have more, then you got to have the Patreon. You've been hearing me tell you about it for years. You've been thinking about it. Some of you are there. All right. But it's $5 a month. That's it. And it is this show with y'all, The Honeydew with y'all, and it's the wildest stories you're ever going to hear. Every week I say, what are we going to hear this? It blows my mind. It's one of my favorite things to do is sit here and talk to y'all. So if you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. If you sent one before, send it again. We get a ton. Bump it up. We'd love to do your story. All right. There's a new tier out there right now on the Patreon where you get the way back. Also, you get it a day early, ad free. Everything is censor free. And that tier is only $3 more. And you're getting exclusive bonus content as well, not just another show early and ad free. All right. That's the biz. You guys know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. And I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I'm very excited to have this guest on today. First time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Yo.
Yes,
welcome to The Honeydew.
Give it up for me.
That's right. Clap yourself in, brother.
You know what? If nobody else is going to clap for you, you got to clap for yourself. You know?
I one time did a podcast with Todd Glass. Shout out to Todd Glass years ago. It still sits with me. And you went in. It was over this beautiful classic car floor.
Yeah.
It had the smoking the bandit car, all this. And Todd knew the guy. It was all glass, like Boogie Nights. And you're up over it. And you're just looking at all these classic cars from the movies. And he starts doing his podcast. And Todd's different. You know, he does things his own way.
Oh, yeah.
And after about 15 minutes, he's like, all right, we're talking for 15 minutes. He goes, all right, we're going to introduce you now. I'm like, now? we're going to do an introduction now. Now, yeah. And he has a four-piece band right here.
Oh, wow.
Right? And he goes, now you have an option. You can just sit here, we can talk, and we can introduce you. Or you can go back over there down the stairs, wait out of sight, and the band can play you in. And I said, well, shit, if a band's going to play me in, and I went up and got
you
out
gotta,
of
the you got to do that.
I just got there.
Dude, that's the best.
You're
going to
play me in come on, dude. So thank you for being here.
No, thank you, man.
Before we get into whatever we're going to talk about, please, right there.
Oh, yeah.
Promote all of it, bro.
I got a brand new comedy special that just came out. It's called Snack Daddy, michaelyo.com, or it's on YouTube. It's doing great. Also, I just kicked off a brand new tour. It's called the Issa True Tour. And that name, Issa True, came out from my mom. That's a saying. If you see my special, she loves to say that. Issa True. So, yeah, the special is out there. The new tour is out there. And follow me on Instagram at Michael Yo.
So I wanted to talk to you about a few things.
Yes.
I know we've crossed paths many times in comedy. You're just one of these good looking dudes. you're
old. I'm old.
Whatever. You don't look old. You're a good looking motherfucker. Especially in comedy.
Yes. Thank you.
Especially in comedy, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. I see that.
So your mom's Asian?
My mom's Korean and my dad's Black.
Korean and Black.
Yeah.
And how did they meet up originally?
Well, it's two different stories. My mom said she was at a bar and they met through a mutual friend. My dad said when he met my mom, she was on a pole. So I don't know which one is true. And he sticks to that story.
That's his story.
But my mom goes, no, but in the club, we met at, there was a pole and I was dancing on it. And I was like, okay, that's, my dad never said that part. So it's funny, man. They have a great time, man. They've been married 50 years. 51 years now. 51 years.
They're still together. Do they love each other?
Love,
they
man.
Do, huh?
Yeah, but it's a different kind of love where they love verbal combat. Like, one up in each other, not ever mean, but they go back and forth. And man, I get a lot of comedy from them because they're so funny. I do a podcast with them sometimes.
Do you? You have them on?
Oh man,
they're like that. They're cool to come and sit down and do that with you.
Oh, they love it.
Oh
they,
yeah, yeah.
Like they, it blew up in Korea, the podcast and the clips. And my mom is calling me saying, when we go on podcast again? Can we podcast? Can we podcast again? So now she's hitting me up. I'm like, Mom, I got to go on the road. She's
that
like, no.
That is hilarious.
She's like, schedule podcasts. I need podcasts. So yeah, it's great, man. And I think when I started comedy, I started telling these stories about my parents. A lot of people didn't believe it. And I go, no, they are really like that. And one of my friends, Nick Guerra, was like, oh, you need to show them. Just do a podcast with them every once in a while so you can show people that this is who they are in it. And I did it. And those clips go viral and people just love them. People, they stop them everywhere. It's
you
great.
Talk about a lot of this in the new special and stuff too.
I do. I talk about my parents a lot, all my specials and my wife. I'm like, I try, I'm not like Nate Bargatze or Jim Gaffigan, but I want to be like Bill Cosby without the rape.
You know,
I need to be right there.
I mean,
no pills, no jello, but I do think, you know, there is an opening for a guy like me, because I do family comedy. You know, I want to be that guy, you know, and a little bit edgier, but I think there's a big opening. And that's what I do anyway. I'm not doing it because of the opening. I just see like, hey, that's the path I'm going
to
take.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th. And this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Yeah.
So I want to also talk to you about what happened to you during, because this is what you wrote in about COVID. And I know people are like, COVID. This was different.
Yeah.
So I was saying to you out there, I remember following you and your story, because like I said, you were like patient 001, bro.
Man, it was crazy.
And it was early too, in when no one even knew anything was going on. And I said, like, I've had Giannis Pappas on, who had a horrible experience as well. But me, my daughter, like, we were stuffy. It didn't never even got into our chest. I just had RSV.
Yeah.
Okay. That crushed me way more than COVID did. I was down for 3 weeks almost. Yeah. But the COVID, I say again, I'm not knocking it. I was very lucky, but I did lose my smell for, it's 4 years now, and I'm about 80% back. I'm really starting to get things that I didn't before. I'm like, ooh, there's I just smell air. Whatever's
in the air. And I don't know if that's good.
Great. Like, out here it's not. Here with all this fire and shit down now. But let's talk about what happened to you, because it almost killed you.
So,
like, it was bad.
It was bad. So literally I woke up gasping for air.
What month? Are you in February,
this is
March?
3 days after lockdown.
3 days after.
Three or 4 days after lockdown. And that weekend before, I was at Gotham.
In New York?
In New York, literally sold out 4 shows. It was like a super spreader event we were at.
I was going to say, yeah.
Literally everybody, even one of the bouncers almost died from COVID. Like, I took pictures with news people that came out to see me. They all got that holds 375. So you're talking about meeting every single person. So I met about 1,500, 1,700 people, and we were just spreading COVID like it was crazy. So I came back and I didn't feel great at all. But, you know, sometimes after the road, you're like, oh, I'm just exhausted. So I woke up one morning and couldn't.
But also after the road too, not to cut you off, but yeah. I, especially during the winter months, there's just filthy people on these tubes.
Yes.
And I expect to get something 100%. When I'm traveling like that. I expect to get some kind of respiratory shit, head, whatever, because people are sneezing, they're touching, all that disgusting
dude,
shit on these
I
tubes.
Had a dude sitting next to me, and that's the worst. This last trip, I had a dude sneezing the whole, and he knew he was sick. He even put a mask on. He was sick. But he must have been a boss of a lot of people that were on the plane because they kept coming up to him. And I saw him sneezing and he would shake everybody's hand.
Oh.
And I was like, I just wanted to yell out, you are disgusting. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I can curse on here.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Yeah, I want to say, man, I was like, you are fucking disgusting. Like, you're the problem. You know, now we're way more educated. I mean, I can't believe it was a thing to do that. Now I'm polite. I try to do it in the sleep. But dude, I don't shake people's hands anymore unless I know them or trust.
I hear you.
Like when fist we do meet and greets, fist bumps, bro. Keep it,
yeah. Dude. Also, there's just people out there that don't know how to wipe their ass too. Forget about COVID. Just people.
I see people. You know, we travel a lot. I see people go to bathroom and just walk out.
I'm like,
you're
just walk
fucking
right out.
Disgusting too. You know.
So. All right, yeah. 3 days after lockdown, what happens? What are you experiencing first? Just feeling like you might get a cold and
fatigue,
run down. Okay,
worn out. And then I woke up one morning just gasping for air. I couldn't catch my breath. And my wife was like, what's wrong? She says, can you? I like, no. And she called 911. And this is a true story. A lady, the operator, it was a black lady named Teresa. And
what's up, Therese?
What's up, Therese? And she was looking it up because nobody knew what it was. She goes, and literally on the phone, she goes, this could be COVID. And then she goes, ooh, he could be contagious. Then a long pause. And then she goes, girl, you better get away from him.
Girl,
you better. And my wife, this is true. My wife goes, what I do? She says, put him in the front yard. Like, I'm like, what? So I got to go to the front yard and wait for the ambulance. And it was so new that the ambulance people, the guys that got it, they were in hazmat suits.
No.
Because they were petrified. Yeah. Yeah.
They
took me.
You got two hazmat guys coming out of the ambulance.
Yeah.
Can you imagine also being in a neighborhood like, what the fuck's going
on
with the Yo House?
I'm in the front yard. Like, look at, and people walking by like, you okay? I'm like,
hazmat suits are coming out of the ambulance.
Dude, but like, they picked me up and took me to the hospital and they like, we've never seen a person like you. Because they had people come and get, you know, but nothing like me at that time.
Right, right.
And I remember them taking me to the ICU right away. And literally nobody was in there. I was the only one in there, you know. So I stayed there and I got worse and worse. My temperature went up to like 104. 104.9.
Damn.
I was hallucinating.
I was going to say, when is it borderline, like really close?
I don't know, but I know I was close. I don't know what the temperature is.
104.9. You were hallucinating. Do you remember the shit you were seeing?
Dude, I saw myself standing next to myself, listening to the doctors. And I don't know if this was real or not, but I heard the main doctor go, if we put him on a ventilator, he's going to die because his body will forget to learn how to breathe on its own. And I heard that. And I asked.
Are you inside yourself? And like, no, get that ventilator the fuck out of here.
Let me tell you something. I was so, like, the pain was so bad that if they had a button that said, take your life, I might. It was that bad, right? It was bad, Ryan. Like, it was to the point where. You just didn't want to live, man. It was like people
how
say.
How many days were you in? In the
I was
hospital?
In there 9.
God damn,
9, and everything like because it got worse fast. Because at the beginning, like the first day, just they calmed my breathing down, but I could watch TV and literally everything that popped on TV. They would put him to me. Like, I was a test. I was a guinea pig.
I was about to say.
I was a guinea pig.
Yeah.
I was like a real life guinea pig.
You are the person. That's like, let's see what we can do with this patient. Figure out what works.
They gave me all the drugs. The hydroxychloroquine. All the stuff they were testing. Everything. They gave it to me. And my pain was so bad. It like the second day and third day, it just like.
From what? Was it your lungs? Like pain in the chest?
It felt like, I don't know exactly what it was, but imagine just everything shutting off in your body slowly. And you just feeling like everything. It's just life is getting taken away. Like it's almost like something's just life is being drawn out of you, and then everything's breaking down, so nothing's working, and you're just like, just the pain. Like, I can't even describe the pain. Like, I would never want somebody to go through that. I don't care. Like, it was that bad. And my wife, like,
I mean, are they letting her even come in near you?
No, they told
me.
Yeah. They told her. They told me before I went in.
Like, if you go, you go.
Hey,
like
you can't come in. Yeah. So my wife, she's so sweet. She would drive by with the kids and just send me videos. Hey, it's just, it's.
What hospital were you in?
St. Joseph's.
Oh, here in Santa Monica?
Burbank.
Oh, Burbank. That's yeah. Right. St. John's is saying.
Yeah. St. Joseph. And she sent me messages, and it, like, I think a couple of days, I knew what was going on, but I didn't, because I was so out of it. I was just, it was just the worst feeling. And then the doctors really didn't know what to do because it was early. And like, I remember going through it. And the problem, the biggest thing about it when I remember is when you hit a button, usually the doctors come in, but they had to get dressed in the suit. So it took them 10 minutes. So you're like dying from pain, literally dying from pain. You hit a button and it takes them 10 minutes to put on the thing. And you're just like agony. And you're watching them get ready. You know, you're like, ah! You know, and it, and just to see the doctor's reactions to not knowing really what was going on at that time.
Let me tell you, I had an experience in the hospital where they fucked up and the surgeon came in crying.
You don't want that.
That's what I'm laying there like, why are you crying? Like, this is not a good sign.
Right? No, you don't want that at all.
Anybody ever see something scary? Yeah. Let a surgeon come in to cry and be like, this, we messed up. I'm like, yeah, no shit.
That's
so hilarious. What are they doing for you? If they're not putting you on a ventilator, how are they helping you breathe? Or are they just making you do it
They're making me do it on my own.
So that you
and they're pumping me up with a lot of drugs to calm. I guess just to medicate the body. Because they didn't know how to treat it. Like, I remember like a doctor giving me something and going, oh, okay, now we know what it does. You know, like literally, like they were like, oh, okay. And what's fascinating about it is, a year, 2 years later, when I was doing stand-up in St. Louis, four doctors came to the show because they wanted to meet me. And they go, we were tracking you in St. Louis. Like, your chart, we were looking at your chart.
Wow, from over there, from all studying your ass.
Yeah. So it was pretty incredible to know that some people were tracking what you were doing to see what the hospital was doing, because they had no idea. But it was a time where they didn't know what they were doing in there. It hurt really bad.
What day would you say, like, you were at your worst?
Oh, the third day.
Third day. In the hospital.
Because the first day, you're feeling the effect, but you don't know what it is, really. Second day kind of hit in, but that third day, that's when I started. That's when the temperature spiked. That's when it started hallucinating. That's when it's like, oh, my God, the pain is so bad. Just kill me.
Any real conversations with your wife?
Through text, because I couldn't talk. And it was
the whole
like
time.
No, and, well, wow. Until I turned it around, I couldn't talk on the phone. I couldn't talk. I remember I texted my parents, and I go, hey, I just want to say I love you. And that's all. And my wife, I thought I was texting a lot, but my wife told me it was just a couple words because I couldn't even text that much. I was so in and out.
Yeah, you know, and also you're probably on Dilaudid or whatever else they're putting everything. You on to give you pain-free and stuff.
So,
dude, I had to pay my daughter's mom's like, hey, I had a sitter here the other night. Could you just pay her a couple bucks? I brought her here while you're in the hospital. I paid some lady named Kristen. I just sent them up. It wasn't even the lady. And she never sent it back. She just kept that shit. It was like $120.
Oh, my God.
And then the babysitter's like, hey, no offense, you never paid me. I'm like, yeah. And I'm on drugs in the hospital. I'm like, oh, I just paid some other lady. I don't even know who the fuck this lady is. Just send him random money out. You're out of your mind.
You're out of your mind. I didn't know what I was doing, and it – you're just scared too.
I was about to say, scared to death.
You know, scared to death, because then you start thinking about, oh, I'm never going to see these people again. And at that time, my son was 3 and my daughter was only like 6 months old.
Oh.
And I was like,
brutal.
And I was like,
can't FaceTime them or anything.
No, I was too,
nothing.
My thing.
And they can't come see you.
No. And my main thing was, and this is always when I was a father, you know, became a father. I wanted to live long enough, and this is my main goal, and I can't control this, but I wanted to live long enough where my kids would really understand how much I love them. Because I think it's a crime that any parent gets taken away before their kids really know how much they love them.
I say parenting's a long game, man. You got to wait till maybe they're in their like 30s or when they start having kids and be like, man,
that's when they appreciate you. All right, I see. Yeah, but when they love, at least they can know. Like my son is 7. He knows I love him. My daughter knows I love her now. You know what I mean? But it was so scary that they'll never really know. Especially my 6-month-old, like how much, really, you're just a bleep in their life. Just think about it. And that really, that's the stuff you think about in a hospital. It's like, wow, my legacy with my kids.
You're a picture to your 6-month-old.
That's right.
A picture. A photo of a person.
Your son, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. I remember him.
You're the guy that, I had a dad. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't really know him. You know, you're that guy. You know, and that's just like, that just crushed me. That thought just crushed me, you know? And it's like,
have you dealt with any significant death when you were a child like that or anything? Did you lose any? Because your parents are still alive.
My parents are still alive. Just my grandmother, but they were like 90. So it was different. You know, the major death I dealt with, and I didn't really know the guy, but I played football at the University of Arkansas.
You're a Razorback?
Yeah.
All right.
I lost all my dreams there. So I love the Miami Hurricanes. So,
Wait, did you go play for them?
No, I wasn't good enough for them. I went to Arkansas, but I got too many concussions and couldn't play anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah. So the football dream died. So I just kind of like wiped out the school from memory.
And I see.
I've always been a Miami Hurricane.
Well, that memory, all that CTE might wipe it out itself. Are you worried about that these days?
No, because I'm a No, because I got recruited as a receiver. So I didn't get hit in the head that much. But when they moved me to linebacker because I gained some weight and I was still fast, that's when I started to get hit in the head. And that was only like for a year. So I didn't get a lot in the head, you know. So but it was good that happened because I got knocked out like at practice. I woke up in the hospital.
Did you?
Yeah.
Woke up in the hospital.
And I was like, what's going on? And then the doctor said,
NCAA football is a different game, bro.
Linemen were like three, like they were just monsters.
Everybody's small today and fast. Yeah. These guys are smaller and faster today. Not the LP and Ray Lewis over
No. I woke up and the doctor said, you can play football, but we need a year for your brain to heal. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I didn't want to go through that again.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm a big Miami Hurricanes fan. So that's how, but I am a Razorback, kind of. So I don't know where I was going with that. You asked me what college I was at, and I was like, said that, but I
asked you about significant death, and you were talking about
the linebacker we had a linebacker that committed suicide, and we all had to go. That was my first time ever, experiencing something like
death.
That. Someone taking their own life.
Yeah, taking their own life's a different story.
Yeah. And knowing, seeing that person every day, and then the whole team had to go to their funeral, you know, and see his family crying. And it was over a girl.
Oof.
You know, so it was kind of like my freshman year in college. Like, you see suicide, you see that, this guy was so wrapped up into a girl and she didn't like him, and he committed suicide. And it was, and he was the starting linebacker for the team. And it was very sad, man. I remember going to the funeral. Like, we all got on buses, went to the funeral. And it was like, I couldn't understand at that time why anyone would take their life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still foreign to me, but I understand, I guess I could say, because everybody got their problem. When you get older, you understand, everybody got their something. You know, everybody has something going on.
You came to a moment in your hospital situation where you said, if there was a button,
I would have hit it.
I would have committed suicide.
Because the pain was so bad.
Yeah.
The pain was so bad. You know, I don't know if I would have hit that button.
But, I hear you. But I think a lot of us have been there with the Jesus. If you take me, I understand.
Yeah, you know, I'm good. I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting older. Sometimes I'm like, I can't imagine being 30 years older.
Yeah.
And that feeling,
I think that all the time too, like being 50 and what I went through, yeah. I'm like, I ain't making it at 70.
Yeah, right?
My body's not going to make it at 70 through that same thing I made.
And I'm
at
like,
50.
Do I want to?
And you then know, it took quality you longer. Of life. That's right. It took you longer. And I remember asking one of the nurses too, like, why is this taking so long? And she said, because you're not 20 anymore.
Yeah.
And
dude, if like, you get a cut on your finger, it takes like 3 years to heal now. Yeah. Yep. Like everything, slows down. Yeah.
Okay, so you're in there, and at what point do they come to you, at least tell you, hey, we've got you stable? Like
5 days.
And 5 days it took of experimenting.
Well, no, they initially told me, we'll know if you're going to live in 3 to 4 days. And third day was my worst day. And then fourth day, a little bit better.
I mean, they tell you that.
Oh, yeah. They were very honest with me because I said – I told them though. I didn't say don't bullshit me. Just tell me what's really going on. And my doctor was phenomenal. He was more of a what is that called? Not a what are those doctors called? Not a doctor, but there's a different kind of doctor. It's more of
like a specialist?
No. I can't think of the name, but it's more of the, not herb side, but it's more of the medical healing. I forgot the name.
A little bit of East-West combo.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yes. He was more one of those. And that's why I didn't believe in
mask.
What is the thing they put down your throat? I'm forgetting all
intubating
the.
Intubating and stuff?
Yeah, he didn't believe in all that.
Oh, he didn't?
No. So he was the one that really like, because of him, I made it. And he was the one that was so honest with me that was like, hey man, we got 3 to 4 days. If you can make it 3 to 4 days, you're going to be all right. I can get you through this, but you got to make it 3 to 4 days. And the third day was my worst day.
And were you thinking like, holy shit,
this is it. This is it. This is it. Looking at, you know, the memory I have is texting my mom and dad and then looking at pictures of my family and then blacking out. And when they said I woke up like probably 4 or 5 hours later. You know, and then the next day got a little better, but the fifth day.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
They're like, you're gonna make it. You're gonna be all right.
Day five, they're like, you're gonna live.
You're gonna live.
But are you still in excruciating pain?
Oh, I'm in terrible pain.
Yeah.
I'm in terrible pain, but they're like, you're gonna make it. And because you're stabilizing a little bit. And then they go on the seventh day, they were like, we're gonna let you leave. And I remember them saying that. And then I was supposed to be getting ready to leave. And then they all came in the room. They said, lay back down. And then they go, why? And they go, we just let a person go home and they died.
They told you that?
I was like, you can keep me in here forever. Yeah. I'm like, you can keep me in here forever.
We just let a person go home and they died.
Yeah.
Holy.
That was, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
They told me to get back in the bed.
Timing's everything. Thank God it ain't you that they're telling him, hey, you know, we just let this guy over here.
Because they thought once they let you go, it was fine.
Yeah.
But you remember people were relapsing, mm-hmm. and the problem was they couldn't get back in the hospital. Because now
it's crazy.
Literally, when I left, the ICU was packed.
I'll bet.
It's almost like a different world when I walked out of that ICU room. The whole place, people waiting to get in the ICU. It was rolling people out because they died. Like, it was night and day, literally walking in and walking out. Like, that's how fast it moved, right? And
but that's a big – look, I had the moment as well where they came to me and they said, look, the next 48 hours for you are touch and go.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And they're like, you've massive pulmonary – embolisms covering your lungs. Your heart is pushing on your heart. It's swollen twice its size. Your left side or one of the sides is clogged.
Yeah.
And it's going to be. And they told me you better make some calls. I had to call my daughter's mom, and she's like, "What the fuck's going on?" I'm like, "I don't know," but they just told me that if I don't make it in the next 2 days, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
I call my business manager. I was like, "Hey, remember how we like playfully joked about my living will and trust. I was like, please make sure that shit's up to date. He's like, what? I'm like, I'm not even kidding you. His name's Roy, the best. Roy Marks came in, helped me out big time. And they were like, you just need to wait. And because I have a blood disease, they couldn't, there's a process where they can go in through your groin and like suck the clots out. But because I have a blood disease, they said that could make you a vegetable. And I was like, well, we ain't doing that.
Yeah.
So like, we're going to treat you the old school way. Like we always have. We're just going to give you blood thinner through an IV. And hopefully in a few days it works for you. And I was like, what? And he just lay there.
And you is there pain nothing. Or no?
Oh, yeah. Okay. The guy said, you feel like there's an elephant on your chest? I was like, I feel like there's three of them on my fucking chest. You can't breathe. Everything you're saying. And you're doped up. You're also doped up. You don't know. I'm telling you, I'm just randomly paying people on PayPal shit. Like, I'm out of my mind. I'm scared to death.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about my daughter. My dad died when I was 16. That's all I keep thinking is like, I can't let this kid grow up without a fucking dad.
How did that affect you? Like when your dad, like when you look back on it, how would your life would have been different if he was around longer?
I think about it a lot, actually, because I wonder if I still would have come here and be who I am today or if I would have stayed home in Maryland and just stayed working for UPS. Shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub Primary 1 Joe Avenue. If I'd have stayed there and just been like a supervisor and just like a family dude around there. Because I had a good job. I had a good job before I left and everything. But I was like, nah, I just got to do it. I don't know. I do know. I don't think I'd be the person I am today.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't be the, you know, from 16 on, I have no parents. And that begins the hustle.
Yeah.
And I like to think that I have a doctorate in street smarts and I got a fucking GED in regular life shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know about, I've recently had to learn about money. You know, no one's ever educated me. I just save it or spend it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. I never did stocks or any of that stuff. I never had any
money. It's so amazing when I look, because I have a next door neighbor who's huge on YouTube, financial advisor. Was a millionaire at like 23, and now he's like 33. And his kid is 17 years younger than me. And I go to him, I see him walking his dog every day, and it's just the knowledge he learned when he was young from his, the people around him. And it doesn't make you mad. Like, my parents weren't financial experts or anything, but it just makes you mad. Like, you wish you could go back and be like, oh man, I wish I knew this growing up, but you don't. You don't.
Dude, even in like, looking back about, I went to college. I got my degree. I wouldn't do that again.
Yeah.
I would still go to school, but I wouldn't set my sight on this piece of paper.
Yeah.
I would diversify my classes instead of streamlining them for this one goal. I would take some business classes. I didn't have to take any of them for mass comm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would try to at least get a little knowledge and some things that I think would help me down the road a little bit.
Yeah, I think, and honestly, I think everything's changing now. I think school isn't, I always say this, I used to speak at schools because I was a radio DJ in Miami, big radio station, and they used to ask me to go to schools. And they stopped asking me because the question I always get asked, do you need to finish school to do what you do? I go, no, because school can't teach you how to have a personality.
Nope.
But if you want to run the radio station,
mm-hmm.
go to school. And most people didn't want to run it. They just want to be on the air like me. So the teacher's like, hey, you need to stop saying this.
My daughter's mother and I have this disagreement where she's like, you should be saving for her college. I'm like, unless my daughter wants to do something and she's firm about it that requires college, medical, law, whatever, I'm going to let her decide whether she wants to go to college. I don't think anymore it's like, you got to go to college to be successful. You don't. Mm-hmm. You can go in there and spend $80,000 fucking dollars and be in debt forever.
Dude, I see these people graduate college
and don't even use their degree.
Communication degrees. What the hell is a communication degree? Do you need a degree to communicate?
No, you don't.
It's so dumb. It's a money suck. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest money suck ever.
And also, I come from a time, and you do as well, where when you go to film school or anything, you're learning about lighting and angles and this person's positioned higher in the scene because they're in power and things like that. Today, there's a video that looks like this. It's got 20 million views. Like, all of it's out the window.
Yes.
Everything
has changed.
But to go back and answer your question, I wish I had my father here to ask father questions.
Yeah.
My dad's the father of two twin boys. I'm a twin and a younger son, divorce, all that shit. And I would love to have his hindsight on any of it. Like, what a kind of dick was I? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I want to hear about that. Like, how'd you do this? Why'd you do it that way? He came from a good family. His mom was good to him. Like, my grandma was the best.
Yeah.
But our mom wasn't, you know? And so all these different questions. I wish I could pick that
hindsight. Know, and on the Yo Show, when I talk to my parents a lot, I've learned more about my parents in the last 2 years,
I'll
podcasting
bet.
With them,
yeah,
than all my life.
I bet.
I've heard stories. I was like, what?
I got 16 years with my dad. And you know, the first 3 years, 4 years, you're just a little, you don't.
Yeah.
So I got about 10, 11 years of real memories.
Yeah.
And that's nothing. I've got good ones.
Yeah.
But man, I wish I could be like, hey, you know, tell me your wild stories from growing up that you could never tell a 16-year-old, because then I'm going to go do that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd love to. That's great for you. That's
no, really and great. I love it. It's we were never like far apart, but it definitely brings you closer because you just learn things that it just educates you more about how your parents came up. Like hearing about my dad, you know, having a PhD in nuclear physics and
does he?
Oh yeah. And being black and didn't even know he was poor because he lived in a black neighborhood and you didn't leave the neighborhood.
Where is he from?
It's Houston, third ward.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but
isn't that,
fifth ward is where the ghetto boys are from.
Ghetto boys. Yeah.
So that whole area. So what's interesting, he goes, I didn't even know there was racism because we'd never left our neighborhood. You know what? That blows me away.
You're like, just always seeing your people.
Your people.
Everybody's doing the same
thing. And you had no desire to leave.
Yeah.
You know, that was your bubble. It's kind of like living in these neighborhoods in LA. Like, you never leave your bubble, really. Like, Studio City, you stay in Studio City unless you have to.
Yeah, this Santa Monica bubble over here is.
Yeah, you don't want to go to Hollywood. Not from here.
I, you know, my daughter's mom, they live there, and I go to all the sporting events over there, and I'm just like, this is not like, real life over here.
I live in Vegas and literally everything is 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And we got our 5 mile bubble. And it has to be me going to the airport to leave that bubble. That's pretty much the only time we leave it. So that's what you get caught in. And my dad got caught into that. And it's just amazing to hear those stories about him. My mom, you know, she dropped out of high school, but she was like the business person of the family. Like, she's the one that got the business loan. She's the one that put together the business plans. Like, she was street hustler. My dad's my dad's not street smart. He's educated smart. My mom is street smart. So they make a perfect couple, man. Yeah.
So back to the hospital here. As you make the turnaround, you're starting to get better.
Yeah.
Do they ever let your wife come in or
No. I didn't see my wife. They didn't even let her pick me up.
Really? Yeah. How do you go home?
They drop you off back in the ambulance.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
You got to ride home in an ambulance?
Well, yeah, because they don't want any, they didn't want you in a car. They don't, you know what it was? Because they wanted you to go straight home. And how they confirmed that.
Oh, they didn't want you going to the grocery
and spread
store.
And possibly spread it because they think you're done. But here's what's interesting is they sent me home to make me stay in a room that they isolated me in my room. And I couldn't even be around my family.
Is this because they thought you were still contagious at that point?
I really was.
After 18 days?
No, 8 days.
Eight days.
But here's what's crazy is I went home and they go, when you test negative. And remember, there was no test.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go back to that hospital once a week. And they pulled the test, but they only could do it for 3 weeks in a row because they were out of test. So they did it for 3 weeks and I still had it. So I had to stay isolated. I think I stayed isolated for like close to 2 months.
Did you?
And I couldn't even see my family or my kids.
Where were you?
At the house.
But in a like in just a your in own a room.
Guest room.
Did you have a, how'd you, you couldn't see him? How'd you do it?
I heard it. I just heard
it. That's fucking worse.
So my mom, wife would leave food at the door. And then the only time I would leave the room is when they all went to bed, you know, but I would just run and get a drink if I needed. I didn't want to get them sick. So because I couldn't get tests at that time, nobody could get tests. I had to wait because I wasn't going to put my 6 month old or like you can keep me in that room a year. Like I'm not going to jeopardize my wife or those kids. So we had to make sure in like for 2 weeks I could have been clean, but we couldn't get a test.
Right.
Because I had to go there to take the test. You know, they didn't give it to you. You couldn't just order it. Like, you had to go to the hospital, and they were like, hey. And you got to remember, this is the spike of everything. Like, if they had a test, and they wouldn't even test people at that time. They didn't even have enough tests to test. It's just like, they kind of took your temperature and see your symptoms and be like, okay, you got it or you don't. Go in your room for 14 days and be fine. So, you know, they didn't have the rule back then. If you don't have a fever for 7 days, you're good. Mm-hmm. They just like, if you test positive, you stay in your room. And I think it was like 45 days or 60 days I was isolated. So my wife's a trooper, man.
And she did all that by herself.
Six-month-old, a kid. And I heard them crying all the time, asking for daddy at the door.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man. But I tell you, for 45 days, I didn't have to deal with them. So that was nice. I was at home just
silver
chilling.
Line.
I was living the life. I was like,
was
this
there
is the
a
best.
Point where you got so good in there, you're like, I'm just going to chill in here for a couple
yeah,
days.
Yeah, man. You know what? I was like, you going to drop food off at my door?
Where are my nuggets?
Right? I was using that COVID excuse. Like, my wife is like, take out the trash. Oh, man, COVID got me, man. Yeah, I don't know what's going on over here.
Now, do you have any like lasting scars or anything? Have you gone back to a pulmonologist or anything like that?
I did. It took about a year. I had long COVID. So it took about a year before I felt.
That's what I realized I have because of the smell thing. I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't even know that was a thing.
So about a year I had it. And then I started feeling great. And
now, a year it fucked you up.
Yeah. Well, not.
Impacted you.
Impacted. Okay. Yeah. You could feel like just tired all the time. And it wasn't because of age. It was something bringing me down. Mm-hmm. You know, so I kept going back. But like levels, there was levels in me that were still high. Like I had fluid in me. Mm-hmm. So it took about 8 months to get all the fluid out. Because what happened was I had COVID and pneumonia at the same time.
When did they find that out?
Oh, right when I went in. That's why they were like, we'll know in 3 or 4 days if you live.
So you had fluid in your lungs too? Yeah. Jesus, dude.
It was, they said I'm-
You are lucky.
No, because they said I was in such good health. That's the only reason I made it. Only reason.
Is that right?
That's what they said. And they didn't put me, because the rumor, and this is alleged, and I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist but I heard from doctors after I get out, because they'll meet me at shows. They'll come out to shows and talk to me about the experience still. And they go, and this is allegedly from a doctor, but he goes, we were putting people on ventilators because it's almost like putting a person on ice because we thought we would know how to fix it and like cure it in 2 weeks. So literally we're putting these people on ice. Just on pause.
Yeah.
So we're like, we'll figure it out. When they found out too late that it actually was making everybody worse because it was a chest thing. I forgot what it's called, but it's about your breathing. And when you cut off, you know, put that ventilator in, it messes all the chest up. And that's where it all came from. I don't know the technical.
You don't have to. You're a comedian, bro.
Yeah,
you're not
you know,
a doctor.
I was like, because I want to sound educated, but then I remember I'm not. So there you go. You know?
Also, I talk about it all the time, too. They're coming in and telling you about these new medications all these diagnoses. When you're fucked up. You don't know what's going on. Nothing.
Bro.
I just put my phone next to me and started recording everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's
a
good idea.
So I can go back and listen later and stuff. You know what I mean?
You know what's so funny is I'm getting to – you realize – you're old sometimes when a young person does something. I remember a person.
That's who made me think of recording it.
Right? Well, let me tell you.
My stepson. I was like, bro, we record everything for a living. I didn't even think to hit record on my phone.
Yeah. So a person hands me their card and I was at a comedy show. And a person hands me their card and a young comic just goes and texts it to me and gives the card back to the guy. And I go, oh, I don't even have to take the card. You're right. I felt so old.
Yeah.
But when you grab a pin, I was like grabbing a pin. Let me see, what's your number? And then they're like, all right, you got it. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I'm so old now. Yep. So old. Fifth day got better. Fifth or sixth or seventh day, they told me to stay in the hospital because somebody went home and died. Mm-hmm. And they
kept me. They're keeping you there to see.
Yeah, just to make sure because they didn't want you to relapse. So they kept me like another day and a half and then they let me go and went home and then isolated for 45 days to 60 days. I can't remember.
Do you know why it got you specifically so hard? Did they talk to you about that?
Yes. The doctor said it's almost like COVID is a virus.
Yeah.
But imagine doing 4 shows at Gotham, meeting pretty much everybody. And you're getting more and more. You're not just getting one dose of it. You're
That's
getting like
good point. 15 every strain out
every
there.
Every strain. You're, yeah, getting, you're getting everybody's, right? Yeah. You're like a walking virus. I was like, I was like a, you know, a marshmallow man in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah.
That was me, but a virus. I was just a giant virus walking around. And that's why he said it is, I got pneumonia, COVID.
Coupled with
and I was working and flying.
Pneumonia is enough to take you down, dude.
Dude.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Kosai.org. I had it's amazing that I'm alive.
Yeah, it
and
is,
then I
dude.
Get to look back. It's
glad
all,
you are.
Every time my kids have a birthday, I go, "Wow, I might have not have been here."
Doesn't it mess with you like that?
Did it change you?
100%.
And let me tell you,
still, it's been 2 years, and I still think like, man, I wouldn't. That's a whole week I would have missed with my kid right there.
But you have to remind yourself sometimes because you always lose focus of that moment. Mm-hmm. So you got to keep reminding yourself where, oh, I almost wasn't here, because like anybody, you'll forget. Time will make mm-hmm. you forget a lot of things. So. A birthday, there's a lot of the key times in my life. My birthday, my wife's birthday, any holiday. It's like I really make it a point to say, hey, I might have not have been here. Am I being the best I can be for them, for my wife, just or for career? You know, and that's what really pushes me. So
yeah. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks and then just fucked up after that for a while.
Yeah.
And my daughter's mom were split, so she had her the whole time. And then her mom just passed away recently, and she had to go deal with some her affairs up in Seattle or whatever. So I had my daughter for 3 weeks every day. And it's like I got to catch up on that time.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. I told her every day, like, we're going to do this. We'll do this. And I was like just staying on point with school and, you know, extracurriculars, all this stuff. And I was like, man, it isn't a problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a problem at all.
It's the greatest gift, man.
I was so stoked to be like, you're not a burden. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
I don't normally get you 3 weeks in a row. I'm gonna enjoy this, you know. So that was really interesting and fun. It hits me a lot as each birthday, like I'm about to have another one, it hits me. Because the day, I can't remember the actual day, not to look at my phone, but it was MLK Day, which switches every year, but that year, 2 years ago. And then every day that this lady would come in, and she would wipe the date off the dry erase board, and she would just write the new one up. I was fucking stoked.
Dude, it's a beautiful moment.
I told her every day, a new person would come in. I was like, favorite part of the day?
Yep.
She's like, why? I was like, because I'm seeing you write a new day on that board. That's why.
Yeah. Just a little thing.
These ceiling tiles are the nicest ceiling tiles I've ever seen. Well, I'm so glad to see these ceiling tiles.
Dude, I tell you, just
give me another piece of Kraft Singles cheese here at the hospital, please.
Just the simple things when you're in that state, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to keep remembering that. You got to remind yourself about that all the time, or you lose sight of that, you know, and you just get, you're just ungrateful about life. And now, you know, it's almost like that opposite thing where I just turned 50 and now it's like, oh, okay, mortality, you got about 30 more good years.
Hopefully,
so,
right?
Yeah, hopefully. So I'm going to push even harder now, you know, and try to, that's the thing you see, like me, my parents are still alive. So I see them get older and it's like, oh my gosh. Like,
are they healthy?
Yes. Very healthy. But you never know. You know what I mean? Like,
my stepson's mixed.
Yeah.
Just like you.
Yeah.
And usually they say just genetically mixed kids tend to get the best of both parents.
Yes.
And they're healthier and tend to be, you know, do you have allergies and all that shit or anything like that? Are you a pretty healthy dude?
No, I'm a great, like, here's
the thing. Was this your worst? I mean, obviously you almost died from this, but are you normally healthy?
Oh,
like,
my
this
God.
Knocked you the fuck
like,
down.
Like, people get colds and everything. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to take me down.
Yeah.
You know, and even with COVID, like, they were like, that was you met close to 2,000 people. You were in New York.
And you had pneumonia.
And you
still made it.
And you were touring for like, that was your sixth week of tour. You were exhausted, not enough hydrate. Like, yeah, everything was supposed to like, hey, you're not supposed to make this. So, yeah, they said, because I was in shape, I try to eat well. But I also know, like, my dad's never had a health problem. My dad's side of family, they live to 90 all the time. My mom's side, they die at 60. So my mom's 74, and she beat breast cancer 3 times.
Wow.
So, yeah, so, but she's super healthy. Like, she's active, and my dad walks 1,000 calories a day. Like, it takes him a while. He only walks on 2, but he does that. What's funny is I FaceTime him one day, and he was on the treadmill, and he walks at 2, so I'm talking to him, and he gets on. And then I just see him fly off the track.
2 miles an hour?
No, no.
Oh.
The 12 was under the 2 and he wasn't paying. And he hit 12. And my mom runs in because he's like, oh. My mom runs in and goes, why you hurt my wall? Like, all she worried about is her wall. That's it. That's it. Yeah, man. So, yeah. My thing with recovering is just enjoying life and providing the best for my family.
Yeah, so
and
that's remembering, what I want to ask you.
And remembering.
That part.
Yeah.
How do you intentionally make time now? You're a really busy man. So do you intentionally make time for the kids, for family time, for your wife?
You have to.
And how do you do that? Are you better at it now since COVID happened? Are you more cognizant at least?
Yes, I am cognizant.
All right.
I do believe though, you know, with our schedules, like I know when I land Sunday, it's showtime. It's game. Like, that's the real show. It wasn't the shows I just did. It's Sunday. The promise I made to my wife, no matter how much it kills me, I take the first flight out. I get home by 10, 11 o'clock in Las Vegas. And then literally, I'm there.
6 a.m. or whatever out.
I did 5:30, 6 a.m., wake up at 4 a.m., sleep on the plane. As soon as you land, you're going all the way to 8 or 9 o'clock because your family hasn't seen you. And mama needs a rest. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking the kids out, and Monday they go to school, so I get to recover a little. Like, we have a whole system where Monday, okay, I take the kids to school, and then I do what I want. And Tuesday, kind of like me and my wife do stuff. Wednesday, and then Thursday, I'm back on the road. So literally, that's the whole cycle that we do. And those 3 or 4 days, it's all theirs. Because when I'm on the road, like, it's hard to convince, you know, like, you would know this. It's hard to convince people that when you're on the road, it's work. Like, they're thinking you're just living it up. Like, you're throwing it. Nah, it's exhausting. And what's the most exhausting?
I'm smiling because I know, yeah. Like, we're just out there having a good time. Like, yeah, listen, do you know how long it took me to put this hour together that get out here? And I'm fortunate, thank you, that the people still want to come see me.
Yep.
And I'm responsible for their weekend.
They're paying money to see you.
Yes. And if they go to work on Monday and somebody says, what'd you do this weekend? They're going to say, oh, I went to this great show and saw this comic I like named Ryan Sickler. We're going to be like, I saw this shitty ass comedy show at this. Yeah.
Yeah. And like,
that's a big thing for them for the weekend.
It's their weekend.
They've been looking forward to it. They bought tickets in advance.
Dude. And I tell
it's, look, also, it's fun work. There's no doubt. That's like, being mad at a football player or whatever. Like, it's fun,
but I think,
I've still got to work. But, I have to be on.
But I think when you can hang around comics, like when we're husbands or we're married or dating someone, they're like, oh, you don't really work. You know what? It's weird because, oh, you just go up there and can do that. So you can, it's not like a football where you got to go to practice every day. Even though we go to the clubs, but we're going to a club. You know, like everything about what we do sounds like, oh, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the hardest thing in the world. Stand up, like actors have come to me and said, how do you do that? Big actors. Like, it's the most respected thing I tell people in Hollywood from people in the industry. It's the hardest thing. You by yourself, it's like Gladiator. You against them. And a lot of people come to shows going, make me laugh.
That's the other thing.
And
you got about 60 seconds to make these people, first of all, comfortable.
Yep.
Believe that this guy knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I can tell he's been there before. And then you got to get him to like it. And you only got about a quick minute or so. Yep. It's funny because a friend of mine is he's a salesman. He tells me he comes to shows and he's like, man, it's very similar to what I do in the sense of having to go in and because he sells medical equipment for hospitals. He's like, I got to go in.
Yeah.
They don't know who I am at first. I got to break the ice. I got to show them I know what I'm doing. He's like, same thing. He's like, I get about 90 seconds before they go, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. I want your
shit. No, it's true. It's true. Because we've all seen younger people coming up and just the stage presence makes even the audience feel icky. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're like, and I don't believe an audience ever says, I want him to fail, but they will, they won't turn on you, but they'll feel bad for you really quick. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and when they start doing that, You know, it's not a good thing. So luckily from radio, I came from radio. So we already kind of had stage presence. And that's why I think I kind of, because I'm going on 13 years of comedy right now. I'm fairly new in the game compared to the people that have been 20, 30 years. But I feel like radio really helped me a lot. Because radio, you paint pictures with words, you know, and once they can see you, it's like, just take that skill and kick it up and learn how to write and do that. So, yeah. And Joe Coy helped me out a lot with that. Oh, yeah. He's my mentor. So he started me in comedy. I was on Chelsea Lately. So I got the fast track to be able to get on stage. But Chelsea, the biggest thing Chelsea said, do not be that guy on TV that shows up and doesn't know how to do comedy, because they will laugh you off and you will get booted out these clubs. Respect what comics do. And put in the work.
Put in the work.
You got it. And that's what's so, this is what I love about comedy. Unlike any other industry, you have to have stage time. I remember Russell Peters saying, just because I was getting a lot of opportunity on stage very early, he goes, it's not about years. It's about stage time. He goes, you'll meet comics that have been doing it 15 years, but they have 5 years of stage time. Mm-hmm. It's about that stage time.
I remember early on this one guy being like, man, I got up twice this month. And he thought that was a lot. And I was like, what? This month? He's like, yeah. How many shows are you doing? I was like, I'm doing two tonight.
Yeah. No.
You know, and like, I'm going anywhere I can. I want to say this real quick because I want to give Joe Coy props. So when I'm in the hospital, I'm literally fucking clotting. Yeah. They're rushing me into the thing. I get a fucking Filipina nurse. And they had already seen who I was. Like the people we saw you have a podcast. And I was like, yeah. And then this Filipina nurse is like, you're a comedian? I go, yeah. Swear to fucking God, Michael, yo. Do you know Joe Coy?
I go, yeah.
Everybody knows Joe Coy. She's like, can you FaceTime him? I go, swear to God. I go, are you fucking serious right now, lady?
I'm about to die over here.
So she leaves. I text Joe Coy. I'm like, bro, I'm dying. And this fucking Filipina nurse wants to know if I know you and wants me to FaceTime you and shit. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know. And Joe Coy, to his credit, offered to pay for all my medical bills. I was like, I can't let you do it, but thank you. I love you for that. And he goes, is that nurse coming back? I go, fuck that nurse. He goes, listen. Trust me when I tell you, she's not coming back, and another Filipina is coming right behind her. And it was. I texted him. He's like, my people were everywhere.
I tell you another good story about Joe. Joe, like when I was in the hospital, Joe checked up on my wife, like literally anything we needed, you know, he would be there for. And you know what? I don't want to say you find out who your friends are, but you find out how special you are to certain people.
That's well said.
Because you can be, like, you can still be friends.
Yeah, some people are just scared and uncomfortable with it. Sure.
But some people are like, this is my guy, and I'm going for it. Like, a guy I know, his name is Chris, and he's not a comic. You know, he works in medical supplies or something like that. And I saw him, and I get teary. He was dropping off groceries to my wife, and I'm seeing this on the Ring cam. And I was like, that dude right there. That guy.
That's nice.
That was so.
And you can see that from the hospital.
I was on the recovery. Man, I'm tearing up. And I was like, that moment really shook me so much. Because a lot of times we feel that there's not good people in this world. And then you see that, you're like, oh my God.
And he's, if you were gone, that dude's still rolling by with groceries.
That's
for
what
your
I'm
family,
saying. For my family. And that's what it all comes down to.
Yep,
it's
that's
family.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Yeah. We do all this for family. Mm-hmm. When you're young, you do it for ego. When you get married and have kids and you integrate, you do it for your family. And man, that moment right there, it's just humanity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just a beautiful moment where that will be etched in my head till I die, is that guy showed up with his wife with groceries. And he did it a couple days, you know, till
Isn't
I was
funny?
Better.
Like, a good friend of mine years ago, this is a crazy story, but he and his wife has a son and a daughter. And the daughter she's married, all good now.
Yeah.
But she was just dating this thug.
Yeah.
And he kept telling her, like, look, this guy is an ex-gangbanger. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm just telling you, he's not the good dude. And I guess one night he and his wife are laying upstairs, and her brother comes home, and he and the boyfriend have an altercation. And the boyfriend takes a knife from their kitchen and stabs their son and then leaves. runs out of the house. Their son's like fucking bleeding out in their kitchen. So the whole thing happens. They're a black family. The Palmdale police are fucking scum to them. Yeah. They won't take the kid to the hospital. She has to drive her son to the hospital. They accuse my friend, the father, of all this. It's crazy. They arrest him. They don't even let him. They don't even let him know if his son lives or dies. They don't take. It's crazy. So he's telling me all this shit. And they live in Palmdale. And I was like, fuck that. So at the time, I was seeing a girl who worked at a restaurant. And I just went in and I bought a gang of food.
Yeah.
Just tons of it. Tacos, all this shit. And I drove it out to Palmdale. And I was like, look, you're about to go through hell for the next few days. Here's just some food so you don't have to cook. You don't have to do. And yeah. To this day, that motherfucker will just is like, I can't believe you drove all the way out here and brought food. And like, it's not that I brought food. It's that you fucking cared. And then you thought about us and you considered what we were about to have to go through, even though you don't know what that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good and for that, you. And that means you're a good person.
Oh, and I try to be. And that just makes you more conscious to do stuff for other people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, you know, what I love about comedy is you really do give a lot of yourself to people. And I believe there's a big why comics feel. I remember Joe when he would come home from touring and be so tired. And we would do a podcast back then. And he would go, why are you so tired? You just performed because I didn't get it, right? But then doing it, I'm like, oh, because you're transferring all this great energy to them. And if they had, to me, if they had any bad day, you're taking everybody's problems and they're transferring that to you. You know, it's almost through their laughter you're getting, even though it makes you feel good, there's still a transfer of energy. I believe in energy. I believe you could have a shitty room. One person walks in that room can change that whole room.
Yeah.
Guess where all that negative energy goes? To that one person. Mm-hmm. But he's giving everybody great energy. And that's how I explain, like, you know, why it's very lonely on the road being a comic, because I believe you take all this negative energy the whole weekend and you're giving all the best energy. And it's just like, if you're not strong enough, it could wear you down. It could make you drink heavily. It could make you get into things you don't want to get into. Because how do you deal with 300-400 people, 800 people a night, negative energy hitting you and you're giving everything you got to them? So then that's what and you're exhausted. Yeah. And I go, oh, that's why. It's the energy transfer. And that may sound kooky or something like that, but to me, it's real. Because to me, the evidence is everyone's been in a room where it's just like the vibe is terrible. One person walks in and changes that whole room. We're that one person.
Yeah.
You know? So I love it, man.
Well, thank you for doing this, dude.
Thank you, man.
This is a great episode. I mentioned before we recorded that at the end I was going to ask you advice you'd give to 16-year-old Michael Yo. So curious after this conversation what you would tell yourself.
I would tell myself, people will lie to your face for advancement. Don't ever.
Not just professionally either.
No, everything.
Yeah,
No.
Yeah.
Because I'm a person that wants to believe in the good in people. Mm-hmm. But being in this industry, being around, maybe because we're in Hollywood, I would just say, hey, people will lie to your face. You'll believe them. And then they'll double cross you. In life, in business, in everything. So lead with your heart, but don't be dumb.
That's great.
That's what I would say.
Thank you, man. Thank you for doing the show.
I appreciate it.
Promote one more time and get all of it, please.
The special Snack Daddy right now on YouTube, or go to michaelyo.com. And I'm kicking off my brand new tour. It's a true tour. All the dates, michaelyo.com. Just go there. And I appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Yeah. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.